reading this evening in the words of God, looking over the passage of Scripture, I felt like that God had laid in my heart. There's many problems that face America today, but the greatest problem that we have is those that are unsaved and lost without God. People that are lost. 78 million babies born into the world just in a mere hours of time. Those babies going to grow up not knowing Jesus Christ. You and I don't tell them that He's alive, He's real, and He's coming back. You know, we look at our crime rate, we look at everything that's happening. I was thinking, statistics say that 68 teenagers from the ages of 15 and 19 die every day. 68 teenagers die every hour, I'll put it like that, on the hour from alcohol and drug abuse. We think that's terrible, but we're not concerned enough because it hasn't come home. Amen. It hasn't come home. There's many times, you know, if you and I are sitting right here in this auditorium. I'm going to read my text just in a minute. But while we're sitting right here in the auditorium, you and I don't realize the suffering that is going on outside these walls. The other night, whenever I received a call Friday night from my mother that my baby sister, which is 15, was fixing to have emergency surgery. She was already in the surgery room, and Mom called and was upset and wanted us to come, and we worked out here, and I'd worked on my truck the rest of the day, and I was looking forward to going to bed and sleeping, you know, very, very late the next morning and trying to catch up on what I had lost. And we got in the car and we started driving about 5 after 12, and we drove and we come to the hospital, and then we sit up the rest of the night, and I was so tired and so sleepy, and I thought, dear God, I'm so glad that I don't have to do this all the time. You know, we were so concerned because we had a need. Amen. But we don't realize that there's people sitting up night after night, day after day, with the same problems, and it doesn't bother our prayer life, doesn't bother us at all, because we're not directly involved in it. Amen. It's a different story when you become involved in it. I thought of Sister Womble, the many nights that she stayed with Brother Womble, and you know, we don't really know until we have been there for that reason. So I'm saying something tonight, church. Our prayer life needs to improve. If you run out of something to pray about, pray for people that have suffering and problems they don't know anything about. Amen. 68 young people from the ages of 15 through 19 every hour leave this world. I'm not talking about in India. I'm talking about in the United States. Every hour, 68 of them leave this world because of alcohol or drug abuse. I remember whenever we were home growing up, my brother used to come in so dog drunk, and if I'd come in like that, Dad would have whooped me till the flies wouldn't live on me for a week. And I look at that and I think, God, what is happening to the world? I'll tell you what's happening to the world. It's parents that don't want to get involved. Amen. They don't want to put a hand of correction to their children. They don't want to get involved in fighting with a program. They wouldn't take the time to go down and vote against the drink law for nothing in the world, but they'll gripe and complain of everything else around them. Amen. I believe it's time, church, that we realize that it's past time to get involved in this world and the situation of this world, because the devil is out tearing down. Jesus is coming again. I was dealing with a young lady one time, and she said, "Oh, preacher," she said, I'd love to serve God like I ought to, but I got the cutest boyfriend you ever seen in your life, and he just can't behave himself, and I don't know what to do. I told her, I said, "Dear lady, if you want to know what to do on your date, take the Word of God, put it right in the seat between you, and I promise you, he'll have trouble crawling over Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John." There's just problems there. I don't care how you put it. He'll have problems in that area. Well, that's not what I'm going to preach on tonight, but it scares me to the extent that there's young people, young ladies and young men dying and going to hell every day, and we don't have anything to pray about. Amen. We don't have anything to do for the Lord. Neighbor, I'm going to tell you, you've got something to do besides just get mad and pout. Amen. You've got something to do but just complain and worry about everything that comes around. We're worrying about whether there's going to be electricity enough for the next 5 years and people dying and going to hell. We worry about whether the new car is going to be financed or not, and people are dying and going to hell. Amen. We're worried whether the price of gasoline is going to go up. They're sinking all these oil vessels it's bound to. We sit around and worry about what's going to happen, and people dying and going to hell. I believe your number one main priority in life needs to be, Lord, let me win those souls for Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me win those souls for the mighty cause of Calvary. We sit around wondering and worrying about everything that comes around. I don't care if a dip of snuff goes to $9 a dip. Amen. People need Jesus Christ, and we need to tell them about the goodness of God. Amen. Jesus is coming again, and people need to know about the Lord. Psalms chapter 25, if you have your Bible tonight, in verse 12, the Bible said, "What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will shew them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net." Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, we're so thankful for the glory of God. We're thankful, Lord, for the mighty presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that for the victory that our soul has experienced tonight. Thank you, God, because you revealed your life and your everlasting and your coming again. I pray that you'd move. I pray, God, that you'd open our hearts, saturate our soul with the goodness of God, fill our way with love, and let us enjoy the divine blessings of God. Give us a touch of heaven's love. Let us walk after the things of God and the righteousness of the Lord. Let us reach out unto thee, O Lord, and admire the things of Calvary. And know the mighty blessings of the Lord is with man today. I pray that you'd move. I pray and lighten the word in our hearts tonight. Let us walk after the good things of God. We commit ourselves in this service into the mighty hands of our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Using for text tonight, I'd like to title it from verse 14 that said, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him." Amen. I'd like to title it tonight, "The Secret of the Lord." Amen. I have another scripture reading, or maybe three or four scripture readings from the book of Matthew that I want to read individually tonight. Matthew chapter 16, if you have your Bible, and are following with me, chapter 16 of the book of Matthew, verse 18, the scripture said, "I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock shall I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now I want to read verse 21, the words of Jesus. The Bible said, "From that time forth, then began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day." Now read with me verse 27. The scripture said, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father and with angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." Amen. I want you to look in those three passages of scriptures there. We often refer to the words of God, and we think, "My, the Lord has many secrets." But David said in the book of Psalms, chapter 25 and verse 14, that the secrets of the Lord are revealed unto them that fear the Lord. Amen. The world looks at Christianity in a sense of the word that it's just a big secret. And only few people house this, but I want you to know something, neighbor. First of all, he gave a total secret to the church when in Matthew 16 and 18, when he talked to Peter
and said, I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said in these words to Peter, upon this rock, I build the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Peter's confession was the height of the spiritual illustration in this passage of Scripture, for in verse 17, the Bible asks the question this, or Jesus had asked his disciples to Peter. In verse 16, he said, Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but the Father which is in heaven. In other words, neighbor, Peter said these words to Jesus. He said, some say that thou art Isaiah, some say Elias, raised from the dead. That Jesus asked Peter a question. And he said, Peter, whom do you think that I am? Now, many people preach this message that Peter was given the total and erection to the door of the kingdom of God, the right way to go. But the Scripture teaches us this, neighbor. It wasn't the man Peter, because Peter was this kind of man. The Bible said that Paul had to openly rebuke him. In one passage of Scripture, and before this time, Peter was talking, and Jesus said, Peter, upon this rock shall I build my church. Now, the rock he was talking about was not Simon Peter, but it was the confession that Peter made, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Peter is not the source of the church. He was not the founder nor the builder, but the founder and the builder was the rock of ages. That old Daniel spoke about, where is that rock that came tumbling through Babylon, tearing down the king's army? I want you to know something, neighbor. The secret of the church is this. It is founded upon the rock of ages. It is steadfast and unmovable. It is liberated, not set apart, and not built in with the wall built around it. Many people have the idea that the church is a little fort somewhere, or it's a castle set on the hillside. It's a walled in area that when the enemy comes, we just shut the gates and that's all. Neighbor, that's not the way it is. Because the Scripture said for you and I to go into all the world preaching the gospel. You know what that means? We're not a walled in group of people, but we're free to roam to and fro on the face of the earth. If there's any walled in area, brother, it's the lost and the sinful nature of this world, because the Bible said, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Hallelujah to God. Neighbor, the secret that David was talking about and saying the secrets of the Lord are revealed unto the church is this. He said the church, the people, the secret of the church is that it's founded on the rock of ages. And brother, the church is not going to go down because the devil is rampaging today. The church is not going to falter and fall because sin is rampaging today. But he said, on this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah to God, saints. Let me tell you something about the word of God. A church and a people that is rooted and grounded on the rock of ages will not be tossed about by every wind of doctrine. It will not close the doors on their building. They will not give in to the powers and the powers and the principalities of this world. I remember church one time that bragged. Oh, they were thrilled to death for 17 weekends. Like saying in the world, the preacher never preached a sermon about the 10th weekend. They were so thrilled, they just come to church and go to singing. And people would go to the altar and they'd shout and run the aisle. But brother, after that 17th weekend, sin came about. They closed the doors and put a padlock on the door. And they no longer have church in that building. Why? Because, neighbor, I think it's time to rejoice and worship God. I think it's well in order for you to reach out and praise the Lord. But I also feel that you must establish your experience with God upon the truth and the Word of God and upon the Rock of Ages. I feel like that the experience that you have need not to be when the question is asked, why are you saved and how do you know that you're saved? You can't look at the world and say, because I feel good. But you can look at the world and say, because the Bible said, if I believe it in my heart and I confess it with my mouth, the Lord Jesus, that God raised him from the dead, I'd be saved. You can look at the world and say, the Scripture said that we know that we pass from death unto life because we have love for the brethren. Let me talk to you tonight, neighbor. You don't base your experience on a good feeling, but you establish it on the rock. And brother, the rock is Jesus Christ, established and founded there, according to the words of the Almighty God, that reaches out and says, thyself, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. The church doesn't fold. Oh, praise the Lord. I had a worried man not long ago come to me whenever Russell was spouting off, you know, about the nuclear affair. They said, preacher, what do you think about it? Well, I said, I think it's time for the church to get right. Hallelujah to God. Oh, they sat down and began to draw me a bad black story. I didn't butt in and just listen to it. I thought, you know, if I listen to this long enough, these liable calls me to come to class. Now, I'm liable to get down in the mouth about what he's about ready to say. He talked about the heat that would come from the nuclear attacks, and they'd mash a button and the world would just burst in flames. They don't have to send a plane over, they can mash a button. They can send a nuclear missile over wherever they want it, the United States. And he began to tell me why there are so many major cities in the United States, and there's different places that missiles are hidden in. If they hit them while the United States are gone, preacher, what are you going to do about your children? What are you going to do? What if China and Russia get so mad that they just decide to destroy themselves along with the world? I said, brother, let me stop you right there and give you just a little bit of the Word of God. Praise God. Neighbor, there may be a nuclear war. There may be a bombing in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. But this world is not going to be destroyed by nuclear power. And this world is not going to be disintegrated by nuclear forces. For Revelation said that he's coming in that day. Hallelujah to God. And I want you to know 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 said he come and he came with the brightness of his coming, and it destroyed the Antichrist and the works of Satan. Then Revelation chapter 19 and about verse 7 says, let us be glad and rejoice. Hallelujah to God, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. For unto her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are true sayings. Now listen to what it said. And about verse 11, he said, I saw the heavens open, and behold, the white horse. And he that sat upon him is called faithful and true. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head was many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. And his name, what? The Bible said his name is called the Word of God, and the armies which were in heaven followed after him. That is the blessed saints of God. The armies which were in heaven followed after him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, clean and white. Somebody said, "Preacher, how do you know it's saints?" Because, brother, if it'd been angels, it wouldn't have repeated clothed in fine linen, clean and white. Because the angels have never known sin, brother. They've never known what it was to have sin and iniquity. But the redeemed church of Jesus Christ have been redeemed from the transgression of their sin. And cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, will be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. And the Bible said they came back, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want you to know something, neighbor. This world is not going to fold with the nuclear power, but God said he's going to have the final judgment in the day of God. He's going to come, and the scripture said, who shall be able to stand under the judgments of God? Would you lift your hands and worship the Lord? Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Verse 17, Revelation 19 said, I saw an angel standing in the sun, crying with a loud voice, saying to the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come gather yourself together to the supper of our great God. You may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, flesh of horses, flesh of all them that sit upon them, flesh of all men. Both free about. Now listen to what it says. I saw the beast and his armies. He said, I saw Jesus and his army. Oh, there's a long battle there, because when John seen the armies gathered together, the very next verse he said, and the beast was taken. Hallelujah. It didn't last long at all. The devil's no match for the Lord. And the beast was taken, and with them the false prophets that had brought miracles and deceived them, had he received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image, and these both were cast into the lake of fire. Hallelujah to God forevermore. I want you to know something tonight, saints. When Jesus looked at Peter and said, on this rock, brother, on this rock. Now, not on Peter, not on the rock that Peter was standing on, but on the confession that Peter made. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, on that rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want you to know something, neighbor. It's a secret to the world. Hallelujah. It's a secret to the world. I thought the other day, whenever I got that report from that from that man or whatever the company is that was supposed to have the satanic sign sold his soul to the devil and made the statement that there wasn't enough Christians in the world to make a difference. Now he's suing and saying that he didn't say it. I don't know whether he said it or not, but it thrills me to death when I heard that they lost 38% of their produce prices in their marketing. And I said, thank God that God's got a church. And he's got a people, brother. When the devil blows his horn and says, you will not make a dent in society, God raises up a group of people that said, I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Yes, neighbor, it's a secret to the world how the church can stay intact and undergo pressure, but it's no secret to them that fear God. For we know that the Bible said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. It's no secret. It's no secret to the world at all, or to the Christians. It is to the world. Hallelujah. No, neighbor, God never intended it to be a secret. But it's become one. Amen. It's come to the place that people are committing suicide and taking their life simply because they don't have peace with God.
coming to the place that people turning to crime, to drugs, and everything in the world because they don't know Jesus Christ. Oh, neighbor, it sickens me to death. I hate sin worse today than I've ever hated it before in my life. I love Jesus more today than I've ever loved Him before in my entire life. You listen to what I'm about ready to say, young man, young lady. Your life means a lot to you. It may not today. While you're being passed from one man to another, from the ages of 15 to 17, little girls are giving birth to children that don't even know who their daddy is. Even far greater than that, when those babies are born, several of them are born heroin addicts. Amen. Can you imagine a little girl that I just had born into my home? That baby, when she'd cry at night, they'd have the stomach ache, and I'd feel so sorry for that kid. And I'd pray and cry and ask God some way to touch that baby. But can you imagine them little infants that's born into this world because their mom and their dad or whoever it might be didn't care enough for their self and their bodies. Just settle down and think the situation over. But they just wanted a high old time and a good time. And a child was conceived in the process. And the baby is born and it spends its life from the day it breathed its first breath. Enough nothing but suffering and pain and agony. Neighbor, don't you ever come to this picture and expect me to pat it on the back. I won't do it. Don't you ever come to me and expect to pat on the back social drinking. I'm against it, and I think soft whiskey will send your soul to hell. It's as sure as anything in the world will be. For the Bible said that wine is a monker, and to the man that drinks it is a fool. Amen. And David wound it up and said, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God in the little country of Italy. It stirs me to some kind of degree. In the little country of Italy, we're the major import of our wines and beverages. Alcohol beverages are imported. They tell me that when a woman finds out that she's with child, she becomes intoxicated and stays that way till that baby's born. And in the medical magazine in the doctor's office, one time I picked up and read that they said that millions of babies were born that cried for strong alcohol. And when they take it, it strangles them. But they scream and they cry. Instead of milk, they cry for alcohol. And then some Benny Tiny, a penny waist preacher, get up and pat the congregation on the back and say, you live like the devil, and you live like you want to and make heaven. I'm going to tell you something tonight, church, and you hear me out. I don't care if you've prayed 1,000 times. I don't care if you've joined every church from here to Kalamazoo. If your life don't measure up to the Word of God, when you stand before God, your soul, it's going to frizzle and find hell. And I don't care what preacher told you different. I'm going to tell you something the Bible said, that the ways of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Brother and sister, it's no secret that the Lord has revealed Himself unto them that fear Him. I didn't think we'd shout. Amen. But it's true anyway. Neighbor, I have never in my life, and I'm not kidding you, getting so sick of us just borderline it. Just borderline. Amen. You know, just barely getting by. Amen. Oh, I thank God that many things have changed, yes. I was talking to my dad the other day, and he said, son, I've come to the age that they consider me too old to pastor. But he said, I've learned so much in the last 30 years to think I could help the people. Amen. He said, when I used to rip and snort and rare and bust hides and like it, he said, I've learned that you can take the Word of God and enjoy preaching it. Amen. You know, they used to call us Pentecostal preachers clothesline preachers. And used to, that's all you heard when you went to church. Ladies, how short your dresses was, whether they had sleeves or not, whether or not you had a good neck in your dress or not, how long your hair was. That used to be all the cleats. Amen. Things have changed. He got to where there wasn't enough clothes on the line to get a tax off. Amen. I just told that in. Amen. I just put that in there. Didn't even tear you up with that. Brother, God's Word is everlasting. Amen. It touches the hearts of mankind. You can speak one word of truth to the lost soul on the street, and I promise you, he won't forget it. She won't forget it. You can tell them everything in the world, and it'll go in one ear and out the other ear. When you start talking about eternity, how long has it been since you knelt in prayer? How long has it been since you told him life's hidden secret? David said, the secret of the Lord is revealed unto them that fear him. I must perfect. Oh, I've covered one secret. The secret of the cross was revealed. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. He said, from the time forth began Jesus to shew unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things, all the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Amen. Be raised again the third day. I read in the paper the stirring story that you heard about a couple weeks ago with this young man. Young lady was killed on the bridge of Jasper, Arkansas, and they had to die. That was just their policy. They had to die because a daddy flu said that he was the Messiah. He was the Son of the Living God that's come down. Simply, the reason why he knew he was the Son of the Living God was because he believed in peace. Amen. I'd like to see that turkey and tell him God's had sons for years that believed in peace. Amen. Now this young man, young lady, went out on the bridge, and because they was daddy flu followed, they had to be killed because they decided they was the last two prophets. And the third day arise again. Well, I read in the paper the other day where daddy flu said they're about. They're risen again. I can feel their spirit in camp. I'd hate to know the spirit he was feeling. Amen. I'm going to say something. Maybe I don't care if they didn't shoot each other. I don't care who they were following. If they were following after false doctrine, when they shot each other, they died and went to hell. Amen. That's all you can put at it. I said, oh, thank God, it's a good thing I ain't God. If I was God, I'd start a forest fire on all sides of that camp up there, and I'd make sure that daddy flu knew what the flames of hell was before he left it fell anybody else into the pits of hell. Amen. The Bible said in the last days there'd be people tossed about by every wind of doctrine. They'd run to and fro, they'd believe a lie and be damned. I'm going to say something, neighbor. There's more cults rising today than ever before, and every one of them claims to be the Messiah. Amen. Every one of them turkeys don't know that Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago, was born into this world, and he said, I'm coming again, all right? But he said, when I come, I'm going to take a church with me. Hallelujah. He wasn't coming to make camp at Harrison, Arkansas. He wasn't coming to set up a colony outside of Hector. He wasn't coming to establish the millennial kingdom on top of Crow Mountain. But he said, in the clouds of glory, there'll be a shout with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the church is going home to be with Jesus forever and ever and ever and ever. And maybe people can stand and rise to their feet. I'm going to tell you why they're getting followers, neighbor. Because this world is starving to death for some good old Bible teaching. And for somebody to give them something in their heart and their life that is a reality. Amen. I'm going to say something, saints. I believe it's up to you and it's up to me. And it's up to the church world entirely.
to reach out with the hand of faith and say, let me know that the world is alive. Brother, whenever I was a kid, it wasn't nothing to go downtown and make me some old preacher on the street corner with the Bible opening. And he'd stand there preaching the word of God. Well, he didn't even have a crowd. People, they thought we walking by and going down the street wondering who in the world that crowd. And standing there trying to preach. And he'd preach on the street corner. And no sooner they'd get on the courthouse step. But you'd be surprised how many old men and women are standing across the street under the awning. If that message from God was penetrating in their heart. And someday would spout and grow into the truth of Jesus Christ. And bring the old time gospel. Brother, the world is starting to them. And they're hungry after the truth of Jesus Christ.
They've been fed lies long enough. You go down and cast your vote for a Democrat or a Republican or an Independent because of the issues they said when they get in office. They always have a news conference about 2 months after they're in office and say, our hands are tied. They didn't have any intention to do anything when they got in there. Just to get $42,500 a year. That's all they wanted when they got in there. You just stomp the floor and roll. Can't wait for next election. You'll never get another vote from me. Next election, you vote for somebody else that has the same platform. Amen. They're going to do great and mighty things, and then they hold a press conference, and the same thing happens again. The world's tired of it, brother. You put it down, they're tired of it. People are reaching out for some truth, for some gospel. I believe, neighbor, Jesus Christ is that truth. I believe Jesus Christ is that gospel. I believe Jesus Christ is the everlasting, wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Almighty God. I believe He's what the world is looking for. I'm going to say something, neighbor. The world is not going to have it because you and I believe it on a church pew. They're going to have it when you reach out and tell them, Jesus Christ is alive. Oh, preacher, what can I do? You can tell the gospel story to the world. Somebody said, Brother Caldwell, have you ever preached on the street corner? I've done my share of it, brother. Done my share of it. Was it embarrassing? Yeah. There were times it was embarrassing. I went to Donovan, Missouri one time, preached on the street corner, preaching revival up above Pocahontas. The preacher said, Brother Caldwell, got you some radio programs lined out, and I preached on the radio and preached at night. Didn't have but 7 sermons. That's when I just young started preaching and had a hard time getting them. I finally found where David done more than kill the giant, so I preached too about David. Man. So it was a hard time for me to preach on the radio the morning, preach at night, and preach on the street corner on Saturday. Went to Donovan, Missouri. He didn't tell me a thing what was going to happen. When we got up there, there was over 300 people already gathered there on the courthouse square. Now, before you shout, they wasn't gathered there because Dean Caldwell come to preach. They was going to have a drawing and give away $500. And there were 300 people standing there. Well, I got my guitar out, walked up the courthouse steps and laid it down and fumbled and fumbled and fumbled and wished to goodness he'd changed his mind, but he didn't. And we got our guitars out and started singing, some glad born, and when this life is over, I'll fly away. And the lawn chairs went to rattling, and everybody turned their lawn chair around and faced the road. I thought, brother, you get to win after a while. He didn't. He sung page 73. We sung it. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. They just kept facing the road. Talking. 2 kids got in a fight over by the bushes. I done went home. He didn't. He didn't go home. He sung another song. And then he had the gall to ask them did they have a prayer request. There wasn't a soul who had a prayer request, so he gave them all and we prayed. They talked, few of them reverent, They took their hats off and some of them sat quiet because I was watching and praying. And I thought, well, they're listening. But I'll never forget what happened. He looked at me and he said, well, people, I brought a young man with me today that's just a teenager. He's going to preach a message. God's laid on his heart. Scared to death and didn't know a whole lot about the Word of God. I took a text. I started preaching. To my surprise, the anointing of God fell. God came down and I preached and preached and preached. And I kept listening to the lawn chairs. They'd turn them around. Kept turning them around. God showed me something there on the street corner at Donovan, Missouri. His Word prevailed. God's Word prevails. When all else fails, neighbor, God's Word prevails. Guys, amen. Why? Because it's been inspired. Somebody asked me one time, Brother Caldwell, what makes God's Word so prevailing and so holy? My answer was, because God inspired it. He said, well, that's one, but what is the biggest reason? You turn in Genesis, you find when Moses got drunk, God cursed his oldest son. You find where David took another man's wife. She was expecting a child, so he had to have her husband killed and marry her. All of that's in the Bible. All of it. How does it become holy? I stood there a moment, dumbfounded. I had never thought of it. He said the Word of God is full of idolaters, sorcerers, liars, everything, drunks. The Word of God's full of it. What makes it holy? The old colored preacher reached over and took me by the hand, the tears running down his face, and he said, Brother Preacher, the Word of God is holy because God told the truth about every sinful nature that was recorded in the Word of God. When David had Uriah killed and took Bathsheba, God told the truth about it. He sent a prophet and said, David, thou art the man. When Moses got mad and sinned, God told the truth about it. He didn't go to the promised land. God told the truth about it because Noah got drunk. His son was cursed. God told the truth, neighbor. That's what makes that old Bible holy. That's what makes this precious Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, a holy Word. Oh, yes, neighbor, there's all kinds of men. There's a story where Cain got mad and slew his brother Abel. And God told the truth about him. He said, Cain, you'll be a vagabond the rest of your life. You'll be cursed. You'll be cursed because you killed your brother. God told the truth about him. Everywhere, everything, neighbor, God recorded, he told the truth. You can take the Word of God and everything you find is the truth. From Genesis to Revelation, it's the truth of God. Some of it cuts like a knife. Some of it you don't like. Some of it you'd rather live without. But it's still God's Word because it's the truth. Wouldn't it be something if all of us just got saved and got together and wrote our own Bible? Wouldn't that be amazing? I dare say not one of us could live by it. Not one person here could live by it. Not one person. Because if somebody wanted a scripture in the book of Hallucination about chapter 4 and verse 15 that everybody must wear glasses with a transistor radio. Somebody do that. Somebody write another scripture and said, everybody must have shoes with a quarter inch heel, simply because that's the kind they like. Somebody wrote a scripture in there and said, at one time in your life, you must live in a greenhouse. There have been all kinds of silly stuff like that. Been sincere to somebody, but God didn't write the Bible to fit you and I, but He wrote the Word of God for us to fit it. Amen. David said, Thy word is in my heart. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jeremiah said, thy word was shut up in my bones. John heard the words of the Savior that said, eat the word. Brother, live by it. Walk by it. Sing by it. Talk by it. Live your life according to the words of God. David said, the secrets of the Lord are revealed unto him of them that fear him. There's many secrets the world doesn't know anything about. Those are in Christ Jesus. The secrets of God's heart is revealed unto them. The world considers it a major secret. Salvation. They don't know anything about it. They don't know nothing about it. I was talking to a man the other day that had the shakes. He said, what would you do, preacher, if you had those? I said, I'd pray about it. He said, I've had it too long to pray about it. See, it's a secret. The Word of God said, by His stripes you are healed. But they don't know anything about it. It's a secret. But to them that are in Christ Jesus, the secret of the Lord is revealed unto them. We know what God can do. God bless you tonight. Is my prayer. Would you bow your head, please? To come in tonight preparing a song. All the heads are bowed, the eyes are closed, and the Christians are praying. I wonder, is there one here tonight? Listen to me. On the road, a downward road. Lost without God. Unsaved. Unbeknowing. The blessings of God. It's become a secret. Now, I'm not talking about a party with God. A friend. I'm talking about an experience. I'm talking about something that is a total secret to your life because you don't understand it. God never intended you to be that alone. He never intended it to be a secret. He intended it. He said, it's not my will that any should perish, but all that come to repent. That's the word of God. It's not my will that any should perish, but all come repent. Little does the world know, there is many, many, many persons in our world today serve baby Jesus, born in the manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, age of 12, a confused doctor who died on the cross. Blood trickled down his side. They've heard that story. But there's many, many a soul that doesn't realize He died for them. He died purposefully. They might not go to hell, but that they might find Jesus Christ. Let the book of Psalms be singing, there is no secret what God can do. Think about it tonight, That's God's word. Thank the secret of the Lord was revealed unto them that fear Him.
And it is no
we run around and say this. I just don't understand.